this on? Ah, there we go. Good morning. How is everybody today? Good, thank you.
Keep it up by your mouth.
Sorry. Thank you for welcoming us back. Thank you, first of all, for sending us in the first place. We would not have been able to go if our church did not have a heart for mission. So we appreciate you guys and everything that you do to help others further the kingdom. You guys are just as much missionaries as we are, so we appreciate your support. It was an amazing month, amazing month. God used us for big things, and I'm still in awe over it. I go back and reread my journal because my memory is terrible, and I'm like, oh my gosh, God is amazing. That was just awesome. So I do have just a few highlights to share. First of all, it should have been a really hard trip. If you guys know me at all, you know that I'm very connected to my family. My husband should have been terribly hard. God gave me comfort and peace about it, provided just the right people there for me at the right times. And honestly, if I could have gotten Sean to come over and Skype with my parents, I probably would still be there. But that's not the plan for the time being. So, but that to me was amazing. Just the comfort and peace that I had about being there, away from everything that I know here. But it was really fantastic. The new terrific people that I met. We got to be part of a Friday night Bible study group, and they welcomed us with open arms, and it's like we have another family in Kenya. So the church family that we were a part of there, not that it is any competition for you guys, but they were pretty awesome too. The kids that we worked with at the school, they were fantastic. I have a real heart for little children. We taught at the schools. Helen actually became a teacher. She didn't know that she had that capacity, that talent. She did an amazing job. My forte is the little folks, so I didn't realize what a language barrier that would be, but luckily they recognize love in any language. So I was there. I gave lots of hugs, smiley faces on their papers. You know, they were just thrilled to have somebody there. A little one-on-one attention goes a long way for them. So I was able to be a support in that role for them. They taught me lots of clapping games. You know, we played, we jump roped, we sang songs. It was fantastic. Some of the lows of the trip, tuition day at the private school that we were at. When tuition is due, once a month, if they haven't paid, then they are sent home until their family can come up with their tuition for the month. And that was hard because my class, for instance, we had 33 kids, which, holy cow, there's 33 kids. But on tuition day, we had 12. And like five of them didn't come for a week. So it's hard being in the slums. They just don't have a lot of access to resources, materials, things that are going to bring in money for them. So they have to scrimp and scrounge and make sacrifices to be able to send their kids to school because, then somebody else is taking care of them. They get a free meal every day. And the parents know that, a lot of them know that the key to success in their situation is education. They have to be able to do well on those tests, national exams, to be able to go on further for education, to be able to eventually better their circumstances. So that was hard, seeing a lot of kids sent back. They're so ready, they love being at school, and then to be told that they need to go home until they can come back with the money. So that was hard. The lunch program there is a really good deal. The World Food Program provides a meal for them. However, they had run out of rice already for the year. So the kids every day got the same corn soup for lunch, and that was it. And it was we had it a couple times. Not my favorite, not the best. Better than an empty belly, but still That was hard. I think Helen's going to share about Noodle Day. Just hold on to your seats there, because that was exciting. Again, the teaching wasn't quite what I expected going into it. I don't know how many of you guys know this, probably just Helen and maybe the 8 people that went with us before. But Kenya is divided into tribes, and the first language that they learn is their home language, their tribal language, their mother tongue. And then they learn Kiswahili, and they know that coming into school, and they start learning English at the pre-primary unit that I was teaching in. We didn't understand each other at all. You start to get to be able to carry on a good conversation with them around second grade. So it was different. There was a lot of translation going on. But like I said, I was blessed in that, you know, love translates across all language barriers. You know, they were able to give me hugs, and we were laughing and giggling, and it was a great time. The big low for me was leaving, actually. I felt like I had a lot of unfinished business, so I'll get to that in a minute. But leaving was hard, and thankfully God granted me the grace not to be a big bawling, blubbering mess at the school. Waited until the car ride home after that last day. But, you know, having the take me with you to America or come back and just live at my house kind of thing from the kids, that was hard. I had a lot of God moments, too, on the trip. We were asked to do the Christianity lessons that they have on Friday. And if you know me, again, up until maybe 6 months ago, public speaking would absolutely terrify me. I wouldn't have been up here doing this, so that this is a God thing right here. And let alone getting in front of a bunch of kids and talking about a Bible lesson. Again, I'm glad to visit one-on-one with people, but getting up in front of a huge crowd, and there's, you know, 580 students at the school, so it was a big deal. They were divided into grades, and we were asked, Helen and I, to do class 4 and 5 our first week there, which was fine. I went home and I prepared a lesson for grades 4 and 5. It was appropriate for them. And then the first Friday that we were there was tuition day. So half the school was sent home. They combined grades 4 through 8, and Chelsea got those. And they were like, well, you just do a little talk for grades 1, 2, and 3. I was like, oh, okay, no big deal, but I didn't prepare anything for that. So that was totally a God thing. I took divine inspiration from their songs that they were singing, and we talked about the joy that Jesus gives us. So that was neat. We almost were arrested in Kenya. There's a lot of corruption that goes on there, and we were coming back at the end. We finished teaching at the school, and we went for a sightseeing trip. And we came directly from the school, so we didn't have our passports with us, because it's not probably a wise thing to take your passport in the middle of Mathare slum. You're just asking for trouble. So we went on this sightseeing trip to the Rift Valley, which was gorgeous and beautiful, and we had a lot of fun. And then we were coming back. We got stopped at a police checkpoint. And the guy that stopped us, the officer, hassled our driver for a bribe, and he refused. So, because he's Christian, and that's not the way we do things. So, he tried to give us a lot of trouble over not having our passports with us, because our Missouri IDs don't mean anything in Kenya, according to him. And my first response would be to argue, but God had enough sense to say, just sit there and shut up and say sorry and thank you and go on. And that's what we did, and it worked out fine. We took our tongue lashing and went on. So that was that for me, you know, was a God moment. Just the change in me. I'm generally a very reserved, shy person. I will stand on the outskirts and kind of take it all in. I'll maybe talk to a couple people, and that will be my social interaction. But on this trip, I was called to speak in front of groups several times, come way out of my comfort zone, play some silly games with people that I didn't know. And as a result, I made a lot of good friends, made a lot of great contacts, shared some stories, got to share Jesus with people. It was amazing. And then also wanted to share just my little testimony. Before we left, I had some issues with my job, and I decided that it would be best for me to leave that position. And as a teacher, leaving in May is, as my husband will tell you, not the best plan. Didn't have a job lined out. I was took a big step of faith, which was really, really scary and really, really hard. But I shared this with a few people while we were over in Kenya, and they assured me, you know, they prayed with me, God will provide. And wouldn't you know it, whenever I got back, 2 days later, I was hired in a kindergarten position at Eldon. So I totally rely on him for everything. So, and it always works out. The program that I wanted to share about that I identified from the needs there is something akin to a Parents as Teachers program. Do you guys know Parents as Teachers? Does anybody know what Parents as Teachers is? I see a few nods. Okay. Parents as Teachers is a program we have here in the States that equips parents with tools and skills to be better parents that will help their kids then excel in school. So they don't have anything like that over there. Like I said, they have pressing day-to-day needs that go beyond worrying about how their kids are doing in school. They just want to be able to get them there, so that's one thing less that they have to worry about in the day. So I thought, hey, that might be a good program that we could try to implement. And wouldn't you know it, two of the staff from the school were sent to a training just for that kind of thing. So I have implementers over there ready to do this stuff. I just need to be able to get supplies to them and an idea for how to lead those parent group meetings. So that's going to be what I'm going to be working on. And if you guys have any ideas for supplies as far as notebooks or handouts or a connection that you guys might be able to supply me with that I can exploit, I'd appreciate it. So let me know. That being said, again, thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you continue to do, and we hope to be provided with more opportunities to finish the work that we've started there. So thank you very much.
Hi there. First of all, like Sarah, I just want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for helping make this trip a possibility. It was beyond life-changing and such a blessing to go over there, a blessed experience. And we were able to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the slums of Mathari because you helped us get there. So I thank you so much for all you did for us here and all the praying and all the fundraisers and all of those sorts of things. I just thank you so much for that. It's an experience that I can't thank anybody enough. I can't thank God enough for. I'm going to share one low, three highs, and my goals and futures for the slums there in Mathari. But being a teacher, I'm going to start with my low so that I end on a positive note. So let me start with my low first, and then I'll pick y'all back up and tell y'all my happy stories. My one low is similar to Sarah's, seeing what the children had to eat day in and day out. It's pretty obvious if you look at me. I love food. And so seeing what they had to eat compared to what I'm offered here in the States is crazy. In the morning, for their morning break, they have porridge. If you guys have ever ate malto meal or cream of wheat, think of that, but it's extremely watered down and you don't get to add any sugar. So it doesn't taste good, and you pretty much drink it instead of eat it with a spoon. Their lunch every day was, they call it maize, which is corn. And it's not like corn that we think of from the can. It's like big corn. It's like deer corn. Have you ever eaten corn nuts from the gas station? It's like that big corn, which really surprised me. And it wasn't ever really cooked whenever we had it. It was really crunchy. I don't like crunchy corn. I don't like corn in the first place, but, it was gross. That's what they had every day. And speaking of eating with spoons, which is something that we take advantage of, and we can just go to the store. We have silverware in our houses. We can go to the store and buy some, paper or plastic silverware. They don't have silverware. they bring their containers from home. So it's whatever container they can find in the dumps, in the landfills that they live in. So it's an old ice cream container. It's an old water bottle from one of us that we've left there. It's an old bowl. It's an old broken Tupperware container. Anything that they can find to put some food in, any type of container, they will use it. Because if they don't have a container, they don't get food. If you don't have a container to fill up with food, you don't get food. The school doesn't provide the lunch tray and the silverware and those types of things for them. Some of them, I saw them eating with their rulers or their protractors. Like my kids in grade 5 and 7 had protractors, so they would eat with the protractor, wipe it off on their pants, stick it back in their desk. But it was something to eat with. Their pencils, they would dump it into their mouth. They would use their hands. In some of the pictures, you can see some of the kids eating. They're just using their hands to scoop it up, any way to get it into their mouth to fill their empty tummies. So that was definitely my low, seeing that and taking for granted what I have here. You know, if I'm thirsty or hungry and I don't have anything in my house, I go to the grocery store, I whip through McDonald's to get something, because that's easy. That's not, it's not accessible to them over there. This is what they have, and so this is what they eat every day. So enough about my low, but just keep that on your mind. Three highs. So yay, happy stuff. It was really hard for me to narrow it down to three things, so these are very broad three things. My first one is seeing the kids' smiles on their faces every day when we showed up. We would enter the slums and right away, how are you, how are you, how are you? And they were waving and waving, and I've never felt like a celebrity. I've always been a small fish in a big pond. But they were just like, how are you? And you just wave back because they're just so excited to see you. And they want to know how you are. And even if you don't ask how they are, you say hi and they say, fine, I'm fine. Oh, okay. Awesome, glad you're fine. How are you? I'm fine. Good, good. Playing hand games, and I sang with the kids, and I don't have a terrific voice. That's why you don't see me up here on Sundays. But I sang with those kids fun camp songs. Boom Chicka Boom, if you guys have ever heard that. A Tootie-Ta or a Roost-a-Shaw with the thumbs. They love that. The thumbs up, bottoms out. Loved it. We sang it every day. I would walk into the classroom and I would say, good morning, class 5, or good morning, class 7. And they would say, good morning, Madame Chelsea, and how are you? And they all stand up and greet you. Every day when you walk in that classroom, they stand up and they greet you and they say, good morning, Madame Chelsea, and how are you? And so I would say, well, I learned Swahili, so I would say, Mzuri, asante sana. Ketini, which means I'm fine, thank you, sit down. And so I would say, what do you guys want to do first today? Sing, 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 sing. And so we would sing our couple of songs and then we would get on with the lesson. Or if they didn't say sing in the beginning, I would be like, man, you guys really look tired. Do you think maybe we should sing a song today to wake you up? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they were super excited to sing the songs. The smiles on their faces when they got a new pencil. I have pencils in my treasure bucket here for my fifth graders that I teach, and they're never touched. They want the cool, like, One Direction poster, or the cool One Direction bracelets, or the Justin Bieber cup, or whatever else I have in there, the lip gloss stickers. But they don't touch the pencils. But these kids were so excited for a pencil, so excited. And to see the smile on their face just for a pencil, I was like, shoot, I should have brought all the pencils I had in my classroom. My kids never use them. And so the next time I go, I'm taking all those pencils because my kids don't use them, and those kids will really appreciate it, and the smiles on their faces mean everything. They were excited to learn and educate themselves on a day-to-day basis. They were so excited to learn. Once we got in the classroom, they were just like sponges. They just soaked it all up. They were so excited. My second high would be learning Swahili and the Kenyan culture. The language fascinated me, and it was so cool to learn something new. And I learned some Spanish in high school, but only to
to graduate and get into college. I didn't really ever think I'd use it. But learning Swahili and actually like communicating with those people in their language was so cool. And like when you would answer them in Swahili, they'd be like, whoa, a Mzungu is talking Swahili. That's pretty crazy. But it was really cool. I learned pretty quickly. I can count to 1,000, some basic like beginning phrases. When I was starting out, funny story for you. You'll appreciate this. I was trying to tell Helen, something happened one night in the house after we had got home. And I was really trying. It was like maybe a weekend. And I was trying to tell her that I love her. And so I said, Nakupunda. And she was like, what? And I was like, Nakupunda. Like, I love you. She's like, you just called me a donkey. I was like, no, I didn't. I said, I love you. No, it's Nakupenda. So I actually said, I donkey you instead of I love you. So that's our funny phrase, Nakupunda. Nakupunda. All right. I text it to her all the time randomly, Nakupunda. So that's kind of funny. These are definitely things from the culture and the language that I will teach to my fifth graders here. The whole time I was over there, I was jotting down notes, and I was like, yes, social studies lesson. I have a social studies unit on Kenya. My fifth graders in Stover are going to be speaking Swahili and learning about Kenya all year long. I'm so excited. We're going to learn about their currency, and Helen's going to come and talk. She doesn't know that yet. I mean, I kind of told her, but she's going to come and talk. So we have a real Kenyan in our classroom. I'm really excited about that. My third high from the trip was sponsoring a family in the slums. One day we came, we got there a tad bit late because we were running late. But it wasn't we, it was the driver. It's okay. Poor Oliver. But I saw one of my grade five kids walking out of the gate. And so I said, Yvonne, where are you going? And she said, I'm going home. I'm being sent home. And I said, why? Are you sick? You know, because I was like, well, I mean, they don't have a school nurse, but she doesn't feel good. She just walks home. So she said, no, school fees. And I said, what about school fees? And she was like, we can't pay them. So I'm being sent home. And this is one of my students that sits in the front row of my class that I had saw for weeks. And she was learning, and she's so bright, and she's one of the best soccer players I saw out there on the field, and just had a passion for learning. And so it broke my heart for her to be walking out of the gate and just being sent home. And so I asked one of the teachers there, Madame Chin, and I said, what are the fees? What are the fees? Can we do something about this? Can we, like, week extension? Can someone pay them? Like, what do we have here? And she was like, someone needs to pay them or they can't come to school. And so I said, well, how much is it? And she said, 500 shillings. And so I was like, okay, well, I have 500 shillings in my backpack. I'll just pay for her. Just let her go back to class because, I mean, we have some important lessons to learn in math and English today, and I would like her to be there. So I said, I'll just pay for her, just send her back to class. And so she was like, okay. So I started talking to Madame Chin and asking questions about the cost of fines, learning more about Yvonne's family. She's not an only child. Has an older sister, Anna, in class 7, and I didn't even know they were related, but I taught Anna too. They also have a little brother in grade 1, Fabrigas, and then the dad goes to town every day looking for work. The mom only works on Sundays because she's at home with the other two little ones. They have a 2-year-old and a 7 or 8 month old, so she takes care of them during the day and takes care of the house, those sorts of things. And so I was just really convicted by this, and I was like, 500 shillings. So I started doing some calculations on my phone, and I was like, wow, that's $5.75 here in the U.S. That's like a Starbucks coffee, and I get quite a few of those a month. And so I prayed about it, and I was converting the numbers and praying about it, and I just felt God speak to me clearly, like, And I was like, well, I don't know if I can afford to pay for them every month. And they have a whole family. So how do you pay for one kid out of the family and tell the kids, sorry, the other kids, sorry, you can't come to school. I can only afford, when really I know that I could probably afford to send all of them. And so God just spoke to me, and in the Word and in the Bible, you know, James 1:7 said, every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so I know that He will provide for me no matter what. And so He just kind of said, I've given you a job. I've provided you a salary. You will give back to my people. These are my people, and you will give back to them, and I will provide for you when you get back to the U.S. That's not something you need to worry about. That's what I will take care of. And so I said, okay. And so I sat down, and I calculated, and I paid for Anna and Yvonne and Fabregas to go to school the rest of the year through December. And so I told Madame Achin, these are like my little kids now, so I don't want to hear about you sending them home ever again. These three kiddos will be in their seats every day. They will have food in their tummies every day. And they will be learning and furthering their future every day. So that brings me to my goals and my hopes for Mathari for the future. Is sponsoring kids to go to school. And so, I mean, these may be their only two meals they get a day, that watered-down malto meal and that nasty, crunchy corn soup. But that is what they get every day, and that's better than an empty stomach. And so these kids want to learn. They want to come to school. I know a lot of kids sitting in the audience now and a lot of kids in my school, they don't want to go to school. They're going because their parents told them to, and they have to. It's the law. And so there, you don't have to go to school. If you don't have the money to go to school, then you won't go. And so these kids want to go to school. They know that they need an education for their future. So I, have broke down the costs. And so grades, K through, which is pre-unit there, which, Sarah was in, through grade 6 is 500 shillings per month. That's $5.75 a month, which is $69 per year. Folks, $69 a year and one kid could go to school and have two meals a day, and you know they're getting a good education. That's a no-brainer to me. Grade 7 is 600 shillings per month, which is about $6.90 here, which is $83 per year. Grade 8 is 700 shillings per month, which is $8.05, which is $97 per year. So I broke it down. $5.75 a month is like a Starbucks coffee. So that's a kid from grade kindergarten through 6. Could you give up a Starbucks coffee a month? I know I can. I can give up a couple Starbucks coffees a month. Grade 7, $6.90, that's like a meal at McDonald's. Could you give up a meal at McDonald's a month? I could. I could afford to give up a meal at McDonald's a month. Grade 8, $8.05. Could you give up your Netflix streaming a month? $7.99, $8.05. Could you give that up a month? I could give up Netflix for a year. For a kid to further their future and get a good education, I could definitely give that up for a couple years. I don't need Netflix. Really? I don't need Starbucks. I don't need a meal at McDonald's. Do you? So I would love it if you would come see me, if you feel led or convicted to give to that. I know that I will be going back for sure in December. My work is not done in Nairobi. My heart is there. I love those kids so much. Get a little emotional. Those kids stole my heart from the moment I walked in. And I know that God will provide and that He is leading me there. And so, like Jay said 2 weeks ago, I'm getting out of the boat, and if it wasn't for my school contract, I'd still be there. So I'm going to finish out the school year, and I'm moving to Nairobi in June to be a missionary and to live for the word of God. Because my heart is there. I know I'm supposed to be in Kenya. And I hope that you will support me in that journey. And I hope that you feel led to educate those kids over there because they deserve it. They deserve it, oh my gosh, more than you even know. So I hope that you will come see me and let me know if you feel led to give, if you want to partner up with some other people to send a kid to school for a year, for a month, whatever. I'll be going back in December, and I'd be glad to take some money to sponsor some kids over there, and I would be glad to take a picture of the person and the kid that you're sponsoring and bring that back to you. So that's what I have.
Hello, everybody. Okay. Mine, as the girls have said, it's to be grateful to all of you, to our families, anybody who contributed to our trip. I'm so very grateful, and the people of Kenya are so very grateful, more so the people in Madhari Slums. They are very grateful. I'm so proud of these two girls, for their courage, their kindness, and the kind of heart that God has given them and that led them to come to Kenya. I wouldn't be any prouder than I am of them. I would want to say another thing is, for me, I saw the power of prayer beginning of our journey. And this is when I met baby Joshua. We were in a flight to London, which we were not supposed to be if it were not for me. But we saw God's hand with baby Joshua, who was having a hearing infection. And Joshua's mom, she has a Korean background. And she was praying that she would have somebody sitting next to them, because baby Joshua is 4.5 months old, was just going to meet his grandparents on both sides for the first time. And she was praying that she would meet a Christian sitting next to them. And when I walked in, Chelsea and I had the "it's not about me" shirt, and they just like, "Hey, you girls, you Christians?" And they had gone in the plane before me, and she was just so thrilled. When I sat next to her, she said, "Are you sitting here?" And I said, "Yes." Like, I've just been praying to God for a Christian to sit next to me, and one we'd understand. Baby Joshua had an ear infection, and he was so tired. And his mom was worried that he would be crying, and that's why he was praying for somebody who would understand in case he was going to be crying all through the journey. And so the three of us prayed, and then I went and sat next to, she's called Yoon. I sat next to her, and I asked her, "Can I pray for Joshua?" And she said yes. And when we prayed, that baby never cried for the 9 hours journey to London. The baby never cried, never woke up. He slept through the journey, and that's how God's hand is. And when they said, when we were being taken off the flight, I wasn't meant to say that, but they said maybe God had a purpose for us, and that was the purpose. We ended up in London instead of Brussels. To talk about the Noodles Day, yes. You should have seen those kids. Having corn every single day and cream of wheat, which is porridge to them. When they saw noodles, it was like heaven came down. The ones who didn't have bowls ran home to get their bowls. The ones who could not go home borrowed the lids from the others. And it was a fun day. Like, they didn't wish for that day to end. And I went to my nursery class. I was teacher Helen. When I left here, I said, "These two girls are teachers. What am I going to do?" My purpose was to deal with the women. And the only time I could meet the women was in the evenings. And Sarah told me, "You don't have to worry. You can come and support us in the class." And I took the nursery class. And when the day for noodles came, and these kids were in class, all of them, even the ones who never ate lunch, and I went into class and I said, "Hey, how is the meal?" "Great, teacher Helen, great." Because they were just so excited. This is something that to them, it was manna from heaven, because they'd never seen that. When we went in on the first day, okay, thank you. think I lost my pencil. Somewhere. Oh, here it is. This is what the kids were using to write. And this is more or less the same size of the chalk that the teachers were using to write on the board. I would run out of my class to go borrow chalk from Chelsea because she had a box of chalk. And the teachers don't even have the board eraser. So the kids have to bring in tissue or toilet paper for what they know, for the teacher to use that to rub the board. So each kid has a turn to bring the tissue. And she goes through the roll call and say, who didn't bring tissue? Who was the last one who brought tissue in class? Or they have that small mattress that they use to rub the board. And that's what I was going through in class. Because sometimes my kid wants to use the bathroom. It's the same tissue he brings to use for the chalk eraser, for the board eraser to use for the bathroom. It's cut in small pieces. And so that was like heartbreaking just to see. And they don't have the sharpeners, so the teacher uses the eraser to sharpen the pencil. When we brought in the mechanical pencils, not even the teachers understood what a mechanical pencil was. And I think the first 2 days, Chelsea would testify to that, those leads were broken. Because they're so used to the pencil, they write so hard on the paper, that it was just breaking every single minute. And that's how they're just, like, to them, you bring something that they have never seen. And, you know, it's like, when you've watched Godfather, and this bottle that dropped down from somewhere, and this guy says, that was from heaven. That is how these kids feel. When we shared those meals, the teachers get pretty much almost the same kind of meal that the kids get, except that for the teachers, their corn has beans that you can count. It brought me back memories for when I was in boarding school and I shared with the girls. That to me, it's just memories because this is what I was eating whenever I was in boarding school. This was my meal. So that was just memories for me. The other law that we saw one of the days we were in the school, there's some houses that were burnt down. We could see fire and the kids ran out of the school to see the houses that were burning. Some of the kids from that school lost their houses. And when they were being sent home from school, the mother came and said, please don't send them home because all they have is the uniform on their back because their houses were burnt. That was a very sad day for those kids. Another thing that we saw, the fee that Chelsea is talking about, that breakdown, that fee that those kids have to bring in every month, that fee is paid for the teacher's wages, which ranges from $34 to $56 a month. That is a teacher's salary. Then that same money has to pay for the firewood that is used for their meals. And that same money pays for the little electricity that the school is able to get and the water. And that same money still pays for the sewer company that comes twice a semester. So you can see just how much that $6 goes because these teachers are not under the government. So the government does not pay their wages. The other thing that happened is we have a lady called Lillian. Lillian has a daycare with 30 children. We went, she just has one room with 30 kids in there. And you have babies from 2 months old to 5 years. And she's just one person. And she's teaching this elder, like the 5-year-olds and the 4-year-olds. And she still has to take care of the small ones. And they have the nap times. And what she does is some of these kids are brought in with a cream of wheat and tea, and that's all she can afford to give the kids. And she also gets paid probably $1.05, and that's her pay from each kid that she takes care of. So it was just heartbreaking to see all this happening. My highs were these kids don't get affection. It's sometimes somebody wants to give you a hug and you just wish they would just shake your hand. I called one of the kids probably on our last day and I was leaving and was saying my goodbyes. And I say, come, I give you a hug. And this kid was looking at me like I was speaking Spanish. So I said, let me show you a hug. And when I gave that kid a hug, they couldn't stop coming for more hugs. And what we did was have a group hug. And then they kept coming. Can I come back? Can I come back? And that's just how much that affection sometimes we take for granted. And there are those who desire to have that, that when they go home, their parents are like, hey, you know, I'm busy, I'm tired, I don't have time for this. And when they see somebody who can just give them that, that is the love of Christ that those kids desire. I met with the women, Sarah and Chelsea was with me when we met with the women group. And these women, I can tell you, they just overwhelmed me with what they were able to do. That I only showed them, this is the way to go. That was the first day. And the second day, when we met again, they had already started working on some of the stuff that we had sent there. By the third week, we were more surprised at the work that they had done. Some of them said, you showed us something, that skills that we didn't even know that we had. I didn't have to show them the skills. I only directed them and showed them, this is how you cut this plastic bag. They used a recycled plastic bag, and they said, please don't use the word plastic because people are not going to buy. We call them material. And they could pick those stuff and say, hey, give me my materials. And they did an awesome job. And all I would ask is to help them market that. What we are working on is to enroll them with the World Vision group. And this World Vision could be able to take them in as an umbrella and help microfinance their project. It is something that is still, what we are trying to do is also not for them to wait until we go, for them to make this stuff and we bring to market here, but if they can also get a local market where they would be able to do that. And that is by joining with World Vision. And we hope that we will be able to achieve that once that is taken care of. So for all I can say is I'm so grateful that you people find it in your heart to reach out to the people in Kenya and to the children more so. And they are just so blessed to have us go and do that. I left here called Helen, but I came back called Teacher Helen. And that was humbling. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Hello.
For those of you that don't know me, my name is Charity Jackson. I am the one that went to Madagascar on a medical and dental trip. Thank you. I have no notes. It's all in the pictures. So when they come up, I'll start talking. But it was an amazing trip. I'm the total opposite from the three Kenya girls. I don't do school-age kids. I don't have that gift, if you want to put it that way. They just... not the kid person, I don't do children. And that's putting it nicely. so that was, God changed my heart in that area, let's just say that. I'll give you some statistics while we're waiting on the pictures. This trip, we broke all the records for Hand of Hope. We saw over 7,000 patients between medical and dental, and I participated in the dental side. We saw in dental 776 patients. There was one dentist and myself. I did all the anesthetic, he pulled all the teeth. I got to pull four, but that was pretty cool. We pulled 1,912 teeth in 5 days. It was tremendous. This is a group, the gentleman in the white jacket, he was a dentist from Tulsa. He pulled all the teeth, and so that's part of us. There were 33 of us all together. You can go to the next slide, please. We went in these big trucks, and they were Mercedes, but not like our Mercedes, let me tell you. We did fill 23,545 prescriptions. out of those 7,000 patients, and I think this is what's most important out of all those patients, out of 7,063 patients, we had 5,368 salvations. Woo! Over an 80% salvation rate is unheard of. It's amazing. One of the pictures, when it's coming up, I tried to sneak out of the dental tent as I could, and I went over to the salvation tent, because once they went to medical or dental, then they went to the salvation tent, and it was all translated, and there was this little boy, and when it was translated, the last question was, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And this little boy's hand went up so fast, he had to be like 6 years old. It was absolutely amazing. So I thought the salvation rate was pretty cool. I'll try and remember the pictures. The first one that will be coming, there was a gentleman, I tried to do stories to go with these pictures. There was a gentleman that was in his mid-60s. Parents were mentally, or his children, the parents of the child, were mentally handicapped. So a 65-year-old was caring for a 6-year-old child that had cerebral palsy. The 65-year-old man was really like 85 in physicalness, if that's a word. And so he was like shuffling, trying to carry this 6-year-old into the clinic. That was how he had to get around, because the child couldn't walk. He had cerebral palsy. So as a group, all the volunteers pitched in, and we were able to buy him a makeshift wheelchair. It's like one of our plastic lawn chairs on wheels. We didn't get him a real wheelchair because we didn't want it to be stolen. So I have a before and after picture of the grandpa walking in and then the grandpa with the wheelchair. That was pretty amazing. One of the other stories, I'll tell you my kid's story because it's the biggest God moment I had. I don't do kids. I've expressed that. I really don't do children. And I had probably a 6-year-old little boy holding an infant, maybe 3 or 4 months. And mom was in getting her tooth pulled, multiple teeth probably. And the child is screaming bloody murder outside the dental tent. And I'm like, please somebody shut that child up. I mean, it's taxing. So I go out there and I take this baby who's screaming bloody murder, who's got a 5-pound diaper on, totally soaked. I'm like, can I take your baby for you, you know? And screaming bloody murder, I start patting its butt, singing Jesus Loves You, and said, Lord, please calm this child. And I swear, within 30 seconds, that baby was out, not another peep out of it, and the Holy Spirit was so alive over there. It was amazing. That was the first child I held, and that really touched my heart. On Wednesdays, the kids only go to school half a day. So by Wednesday, word had gotten out that we were in town, and people were lined up at 1 in the morning, waiting on us to get there. We probably got there at 8-ish. So they only have half a day on Wednesdays, and so they kept all their kids out of school, I guess, and decided to bring all the kids to the clinic that day. And apparently, the dentist doesn't like children all that much either, so he decided that I was going to give all these children their injections. When people were getting teeth pulled, it was multiple teeth. It was 4, 6, 13. Very seldom did I see a person come in for one tooth. So we got this 3 or 4-year-old screaming child in a mother's lap. And I'm here with a light on my head with a big old needle about to give them an injection in their mouth that they've never experienced before. All they know is the screams they heard before they got into the tent. Okay, so you got the mom sitting holding the kid, and I start singing, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Holy Spirit, please calm this child. And time again, that child's eyes would roll back in its head, her eyelids would close, and she was still as could be for 3-4 different shots. I have never seen the Holy Spirit move like that ever in my life. And when that child that's 3 or 4 years old can endure injections all over in their mouth and not make a peep, you know the Holy Spirit is alive and working. And that has changed my heart. Here you see, I'm just helping the dentist because this was one of the children that was relentless. The first time that happened, when I did that with a patient and their eyes rolled back and their eyelids went closed, I just was really dumbfounded and shocked. My translator looked at me and he was just as shocked as I was, like, oh my gosh, this actually works. That child went over to the dentist and started screaming over at the dentist, and my translator leaned over and said, guess he doesn't have the Holy Spirit on his side, does he? And I was like, I just busted out laughing. But this is just a random picture, trying to pull children's teeth that were completely rotted out. Are we able to go through the slides now? There's the little boy that raised his hand really quick for salvation. That was amazing. Go ahead. This is what we would see by mid-afternoon. That's taken from inside the dental tent. Dentistry always had an audience. We were the big tent. We were awesome. It was the coolest thing. This lady, that's an abscess. I didn't get any gross medical pictures that are too bad, so don't worry. This is one of God's little special angels. He was very mentally and physically handicapped. There's another one of God's special angels. This was the dentist. That's how they were getting their teeth pulled. So next time you're at the dentist and you want to complain, think about that. These kids live on the street in the capital city. The little boy in red stole my heart there. They sleep on the street. That's just another shot from the dental clinic. This is some countryside. That's very typical over there. The water is almost red. It's really pretty. This is a typical Malagasy home. It was pretty awesome to see. And when I looked inside and took the picture of the inside, which is right there, she says, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. And I said, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Laundry day, ladies, there you go, on the river. Clothes are drying. So when your washer breaks down, there's just a closer up shot. That was on Saturday. And the wall, what do you call the sides of the river? Thank you. The banks were just filled with clothes drying. This was pretty typical, going down the capital city street. That's our Zebu. They make bricks. Another, just a market type place. We did sing Move It for the Madagascar children, and they were into it, and they loved it. I did not. I stood back and took pictures, but yeah, it was pretty cool. That's pretty typical scenery. We're sort of going through the pictures backwards. Okay, so there's the dental tent. That's what we worked in. Was it just a small, tarp tent? Me doing what I did for 5 days. There's the little baby that stopped crying with the little child that was holding it outside the tent. I will never forget that. That's a pretty typical mouth over there. Everything's rotted and we pulled all his teeth. 10, 15 extractions at a time. That's our sterilization. So we sort of rinsed off the blood and brushed it off and dipped it and kept moving. We were just popping teeth out so fast we were throwing them on the floor. And there's my little King Julian ringtail lemur. That's what we did on Saturday before we left, and he liked my hair. That's the group of volunteers that went. They were nurses, doctors, one dentist, a couple non-medical. Okay. So I want to express my greatest gratitude. I know church is running long and I will get off of here, but I want to express my gratitude so much for sending me. It has completely changed my heart, and you made it possible, and I appreciate that very much. Thank
you. You're awesome. You're awesome.
Am I on here? You know, I had about a 30-minute sermon all put together. Thanks, ladies. It only takes me every day for about 2 weeks to put it together. But really what I wanted to say was what was said. You know, I mean, how do you top that? You know, one thing that I've noticed over the last two mission days that we've had were the guys from the Philippines and the girls. What is it? Do we need prepaid legal? I know with some of you guys almost getting arrested and then the guys getting in trouble. But we might do that for the next mission trip. But one thing that you've noticed out of all of these people that have been on mission trips is their heart, how much it affects them. And I think it's almost like a selfish giving, because we go on mission trips and we bond together as a church to support these people to go. And they come back, I think, just as touched as the people they have an outreach for. And I think that's awesome. And I won't hold us up. The girls had promised to shut me down on the microphone if I went too long. But I would like to call Curtis up and finish our service with a prayer. You know, once again, I'd like to thank everybody that has bonded together to send everybody on these trips. And I want you guys to think, the next time that God puts somebody in your place and gives you an open door to maybe just be a blessing, and it happens every day, all you have to do is look. And God's calling on you to step through that door. Maybe it's just a hug or a handshake or a warm meal, but God will use us if we will just be open to being used. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just come to you with these great just appreciation in what you do. As a church, we want to thank you for the Hagans and the Moffitts who are overseas full-time serving. And Lord, we'd like to thank you for keeping all of our missionaries safe and bringing them home and just letting them show your love to these people that may not have ever known that before. Lord, we are just amazed how you work in our lives every day. We thank you. We thank you for your Son and the sacrifice he's made for us. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.